Sunday evening checklist. Meal prep done, clothes laid out, and your fantasy NFL team picked for Paddy Power Fantasy's massive £3 million prize pot fantasy game. First place wins £1 million. And because Paddy Power fantasy games last only as long as the game week, we'll have a winner by this Monday. You could pay someone to lay out your clothes on Sundays. Only £9 to enter and last entry by 6 p.m. Sunday. Paddy Power Fantasy. Hate waiting, love winning. Paddy Power Fantasy rules apply. 18 plus begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show, presented by Paddy Power Fantasy. Happy Friday, everybody. It's our week 4 preview show coming your way, and a terrific guest joining us here at ESPN HQ, making his season debut, his show debut, and it is bound to be a goodie. Hugh Woozencroft coming up very, very shortly. We'll get into all the matchups this weekend. We'll talk about player holdouts as well. Hugh works for TalkSport, Sky Sports, really, really smart broadcaster, so I'm keen to get into a number of different things with him. Don't forget, our Saturday Daily Fantasy Show drops tomorrow morning. Me and the OG getting you ready for your daily fantasy game this Sunday. Big shout out to our sponsors, Paddy Power Fantasy. Appreciate their love. Appreciate your love as well, gang. Thanks to everybody for subscribing. Wherever you're listening to us, Stitcher had us on the homepage in the US this week, so props to them as well. Appreciate all the reviews you've been leaving on iTunes and all the different podcatchers too, so thank you very much for that. Shout out to Alex and Tom on the social media as well. If you're not getting involved there, at the NC Show all week long, 7 days a week, 365. Loads of great content going out there, including bonus video, which you can also find on ESPN UK's YouTube channel. So, lots going on. All right then, enough housekeeping. Let's get this show on the road, a week 4 preview special. Hugh, welcome to the show, making your debut. What kind of debut are we hoping for? Are we hoping for a Danny Dimes type debut or a Nate Peterman type debut?
I'm hoping for a strong, solid start where people say this guy's got potential for the future. But I don't want headlines. Let's put it that way.
Smart. Just got slightly under the radar.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Keep my place.
The sharps will have spotted it. Well, let's, any new guests we established NFL creds just in terms of, are you a new fan, an old fan, your team? I want to get that out of your early doors.
I'm a New England Patriots fan.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Basically, when I was a kid, I've got a lot of family in North America, which is essentially why I got into NFL quite young. But also I played rugby as well. So big fan of contact sports, rugby union, rugby league. I think a lot of rugby players like American football as well, just for the big hits and stuff. And we were so young. I was maybe about 10 or 11 years old. My cousins are about 10 years older. We were making jokes about what team. They're big Buffalo Bills fans. And essentially we're like, New England Patriots has the word England in it. And I was like, okay. And they were like, you can support New England Patriots. And I was like, okay.
So what? This was around the start of the Belichick era, before that, right? Pre-Belichick.
Oh God, how am I now?
Yeah.
So it's probably just before.
So you timed it to perfection.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think that the sort of prognosis was you should support a team that's not going to be that good in the New England Patriots. We're the Bills and we'll be a lot better. Was sort of what they were thinking.
Yeah.
It didn't really pan out the way they hoped.
No, it's
an awkward one an awkward team to follow, obviously, from being a Brit because of the success. And it's almost like when you get into the NFL and a sport that's different from the community here in the United Kingdom for a lot of people, you want to support a team that has loads of ups and downs and stuff like that. So I have followed a couple of other teams, you know, when I really got into it, started to watch a lot of documentaries, follow a lot of American journalists. I like sporting projects. So whenever a team would bring in a new head coach, you had a new direction, I'd say, all right, let me follow these guys' results and sort of want them to do well. Or I found a personality, usually around coaches, and I thought, I like this guy, I like the cut of his jib, hope the team does well. I'd start following their results.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, one of the teams is the Texans with Bill O'Brien, a big fan of Bill O'Brien as a person, the things that he's done. So I always want the Texans to do well. And obviously the position that they were in, picking high for a few years as well. Some of the players that they have brought in have made it exciting to watch, but they've turned things around.
That is what's fascinating. Cause of course you, as a presenter, as a broadcaster, cover a lot of sports, football, you know, and running the kickoff show on TalkSport, of course, and you get into, that's primarily or typically football.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the comparisons there, that is something that is, and you've alluded to that with the Patriots and the Texans, you know, perfectly. The Patriots, it shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have this perennial contender. No. It's meant to be peaks and troughs. And conversely, though, you have a team like the Texans, the Browns, theoretically, that are in the doldrums for X number of years, but don't worry, fans, because it will turn around. Mm. Very different, of course, to football, where you could be supporting a team. You could be a Sunderland fan, you know, diehard, rabid fan base, and find yourself, what, in League One and seemingly, you know, trapped in League One. That doesn't happen in the NFL usually.
No, absolutely not. Listen, franchise sport, I find slightly awkward, having grown up in the United Kingdom. The idea of it, for me, there's almost not enough at stake. I mean, you see the way the Dolphins have started the season, two games in, three games in, people saying, look, it's a write-off, talking about next season. For me, that's not following a team. That's not supporting a team. That's not what sport's meant to be about. Players shouldn't want to leave after three games in a season, particularly in a sport like American football, where the season's as short as it is in terms of the number of games. In terms of the projects and the coaches, the different teams that I've liked, you know, recently I was hearing someone talk about the sort of greatest sportsman of all time, who's the GOAT in terms of team sports, talking about Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky and who, Tom Brady, for example, and who they've had to support them. The argument was, you know, Tom Brady, has done it all on his own. I think it was Skip Bayless saying, right, you know, this guy has got to won six, finals with six game winning drives. And he never really had, you know, a big secondary player to support him on that.
Yeah.
But my feeling towards it is he had Bill Belichick all the way along. Sure. That was the consistent. A coach can make that much of a difference. For a side, you know, I really liked the Browns when Hugh Jackson was there. I really wanted them to do well, because I really wanted Hugh Jackson to do well, because I'd like to see a coaching project, a project from the front office, GM, a direction go somewhere. I like to see that sort of project. I mean, it's probably a dream job of mine to work in a front office of an American sports team, because I find it so incredibly interesting and fascinating, you know, the war room, you know, every small detail around the infrastructure, the gym, you know, the sports science, and of course the recruitment of players, something that I've always been interested in and would love to do more than anything else, is recruit players for a team, because I just love to see the way that a team says, we have this need, this is our play. You know, you look at Daniel Jones and the criticism that the New York Giants got. Listen, it hasn't worked out perfectly. We don't know if he's going to be an Eli Manning type character.
Yeah.
It's extremely early doors, right? But the criticism that they got, they saw a need and a specific type of player that they thought, not just one that would fit, but that they could get, that other teams wouldn't be looking at in the same way as they did. It could well work out brilliantly. And if it does, that's the sort of thing that as a sports fan, I find, yeah, really interesting.
I couldn't agree more with Danny Dimes officially now from the rest of the season, how we're calling it. Some shows they're going straight to Dimes, I've noticed. But I totally agree with the point that the situation trumps everything, right? And he's probably not the best quarterback, the most talented quarterback in that draft, but he could be the right quarterback for the Giants. And so if that's what you're thinking, you have that conviction, you know, teams play different styles of football. The quarterbacks are going to thrive in different systems. So if they think he was the right fit, absolutely should have taken him. And it was the same thing with the Amari Cooper trade, which I go on and on about, so I'm not going to bore the hell out of our listeners bringing it up again, but it's the same principle. If it's the right fit, then the deal will, you know, it does make sense. I agree totally on that. You mentioned the Dolphins, and I want to get into players holding out, players requesting trades, and player power generally, because it seems to have reared its head more than in recent memory in the NFL. It's not a brand new thing, of course. There's a history of this over the years, some more successful than others as far as the players are concerned, but it seems to be more prevalent than ever. Do you think that it is justified for a player to essentially hold his hands up and say, I'm not playing for you until I get a better deal?
For me personally, you know, In the sporting context, I think contracts need to be honoured. You know, if people are going to sign contracts and clubs are going to pay them, you're being paid to play.
The complexity, I guess, there in the NFL is particularly with rookie contracts, though. So when the CBA, the most recent CBA was negotiated, the idea that rookies are coming into the NFL being paid a ridiculous amount of money before they've even taken a snap, that's not fair on the vet. So they reverse that, essentially. The trouble now, of course, is you get a rookie coming in within one season in many cases, but with a couple of years they're playing at an elite level and they're trapped in this long-term contract.
I've always found that to be disgraceful is a strong word, but one of the least explainable positions in sport, because it's quite apparent that rookies are owed a lot of money from their time in college. You know, a lot of the number one, the first round picks are playing at huge universities that are bringing in a huge amount of revenue. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars. They are being compensated with scholarships in many cases, but in reality, they're not being compensated financially. And that would probably, for many of them, go well beyond the price of their education. So when they come into the league, to put another restriction on what they can earn, for me, is a bit perverse. You know, they've now reached the elite level, beating records every season. You know, that's when you think, how much does the NFL and the owners, how much do they really value these players? You know, well, I think they genuinely think that someone else will come off the...
Yeah, in most cases they do. And we know this as well with the structure of the contracts and the guaranteed money element, which is, you know, compared to the NBA, for example, is completely different. And there are so many examples of players that are cut because of the salary cap and they're going to cost that team too much money when it's completely... unfair given everything they've given to that team and the level that they're performing, but it happens because it's business and it gets done. It creates as well, I guess, this very mercenary attitude on both sides. And that's very different to football over here, isn't it? That when a player decides to move on and cash in the NFL, in most cases, specifically if he hasn't held out, in most cases, fans are sympathetic with that and certainly not aggrieved by that. Whereas in football, in European football, it's fundamentally different, isn't it?
Yeah. The idea of loyalty, I think 32 teams is, and such a short career in NFL as well for a lot of the players, body gets destroyed. So you need to get that paycheck, which that big payday is one of the reasons you got into the sport. You know, you've reached a point where you're probably your mid-20s for a lot of them they've made good money. A lot of them in the first few years of being in the NFL, but they haven't got that huge contract.
Sure. Right? And it goes quick. You think about, you know, they've got the agents, you got the tax, and also, I guess, the appearances to uphold. And that is not every player necessarily follows that route, but a lot of them, there is pressure to have the car, to buy the house, to look the part, because it's the mindset of surviving in this elite league. It's difficult to navigate that, as you say, when you're 21, 22 years old.
And it's so easy to get cut. It's so easy to be replaced. It's so easy to be traded. You know, trading for me when I got into the NFL and American sport in general was always a difficult concept for me, that a player could just be told, that's it, because I'm so used to not loyalty necessarily, but people trying to build their team and giving people a chance to improve and coaching. You know, I've said before around football teams, for example, in the United Kingdom, there has to be a point where the coaches, that some things take time, right? Some players might take a season. In the NFL, you're not going to get a season.
Given that luxury, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Big time. Okay, let's move on to specifically Jalen Ramsey in that situation, because Ramsey, it's all going pear-shaped. As far as the Jags are concerned, he had flu earlier this week. Yeah. He might not play on Sunday. He clearly wants out, but they're digging their heels in as well. Do you reckon a deal will get done? Do you reckon Ramsey will go?
It depends what he wants. You know, some people, they...
And what the Jags want for him, I guess, as well. Yeah. Two first rounders. I think that makes a lot of sense.
It's one of the best players in the sport. You can't give him away cheaply. You know, it doesn't matter how much noise he makes. He's a huge commodity for that side. You can't let him leave for a poor deal, you know, and that's down to the front office to make sure they get the best possible deal. In terms of why he's unhappy or why he wants to leave, you know, listen, the franchise sport has always shown, especially the NFL, that you might be at a team for a while where you're the star, the big fish in a small pond, the one that's consistently performing at a level that their teammates don't add up to. You know, the system is there to help sides that don't finish well get the pick of the best players for the next season. So you have to, in many regards, you have to wait it out if you're one of those players.
The Jags had changed their tune a bit, because if, you know, when Foles went down and they thought, God, there's our season done. And then Minshew's come in and actually, well, you know, maybe we're contending after all. Maybe we can still get.
You need players like Jalen Ramsey.
That's what I mean. They're rather, you know, if they were 0-3 at this stage and not at the races, they might be more open-minded to dealing him. But now they think they're contending. The last thing they want to do is deal him.
I wonder if Jalen Ramsey just might want another big contract to stay, make him happy. And that's what I mean. I think there's a little bit of politics involved here. I don't know if Jalen Ramsey's in that position where he's genuinely saying, I could never play for this team again. I think it's a case of, right, if I'm going to really genuinely be the guy for the Jacksonville Jaguars again, pay me up even more.
Let's get into our picks, our week four picks. We'll start with the Jags, right? So they got the Broncos on the road in Mile High. As we, you know, established, season back on track with that win against the Titans. Their defense, I was about to say back in business, and then some, 9 sacks against Tennessee last weekend. Do you think that the balance of this side, with the issues with Leonard Fournette in particular, who's just not living up to his potential, is strong enough to be a playoff team?
I mean, I think they're one of those that they could be on the cusp of it. Let's see what Minshew's got, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. There's a bit of a buzz, you know, and it seems to have been in the past the team that can go on confidence and energy.
Very much, yeah.
You know, it's up to the players that are out there at the moment to try and build that. I don't necessarily see them as like guaranteed to make it, because obviously you're pinning it all on a young guy, but he seems to be enjoying himself. The relationship with the other players seems to be working okay at the moment. If that improves, they could string a few results together and they could make it.
It's a really good point you make about the Jags being, they are probably the de facto momentum team and just absolutely streaky. So going into Denver, terrible start for them. Mm. They got to fancy their chances on the road. I'm picking the Jags for this. Which way are you going?
It's because it's on the road. It's a difficult one. I think it'll probably be a tight game.
And that road as well, Mile High, is never an easy place to go with the altitude.
I think it'll be a very tight game. I'll probably go for the Broncos by like a couple of points.
Okay. Oh, sneaky. I like that. Getting the differential in as well. Let's go Bucks Rams next. It is a frustrating game for Tampa Bay against the Giants last weekend, wasn't it? Because they should have won it. They are in that hole now where their season is very much on the line. They've got to go into LA and beat one of the best teams in the NFC, I think, to have any credible chance of getting back on track. And the Rams looking good, right?
Yeah, not very good.
Not perfect, not flawless, but we've seen the importance of Cooper Kupp in that offense. Yeah. They seem to have that balance again.
The only thing I didn't like from what I saw last weekend was, you don't want to criticize Jared Goff too much because he's got so much talent, but there were a couple of occasions where he just didn't step up and out of the pocket when it opened up for him. And I mean, it was like, you don't have to wait that long for the throw. I'm not going to try and tell him how to do his job, but I just thought, there were a couple of occasions where there was a lot of yardage there, and listen, they're such a good team. So now you're talking about perfection levels.
He does divide opinion though, Goff. I mean, if you look at his numbers last year, they were elite level. And I know that because McVay is literally in his ear, that definitely holds people back, I think, from putting him in that top bracket of quarterback. Mm. Also, I think that a lot of this is slightly superficial, that because he's not the most dynamic athlete compared to some of his contemporaries, and his game maybe isn't as rounded in that respect, then I think that works against him as well. I think people are too down on Goff. I think, but what we're yet to see, and the Super Bowl is maybe an unfair example to say you didn't step up when it mattered, but he didn't step up when it mattered. So we're yet to see that.
I haven't seen. I think of that video of Kirk Cousins, you know.
Right.
How'd you like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what I haven't seen yet from Jared Goff is that sort of Kirk Cousins vibe, that energy, you know.
Mayfield's got it, right?
Exactly, that energy on a couple of big wins. But really, it's the underlying confidence of just, man, almost like arrogance. You know, that's the thing that you really want to see from you. Watch Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to call the guy arrogant, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He feels the juice.
Yes.
And I don't know if Jared Goff even feels his own juice right now. Well, that's probably the wrong term to use, but you know what I'm trying to say, right?
We're all at it.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, Jared, you should be the man. This team around you, there's a lot of talent. It isn't just about relaying what the coach is saying through you into the rest of the team. It's like he talks to you and now it's you to the rest of the team. These are your teammates, right?
Yes.
It's not all about the instructions. It's about really taking hold of what you've got around you. There's some great pieces around you, some incredible players, but we all know how important the quarterback is. And I just want him to puff his chest out and be like, I'm Jared Goff.
That's
what he needs to do that, more, in my opinion.
That's a fair shout. Any chance for Jameis Winston here, or are you going Rams?
No, Rams.
We both agree on Rams on that.
Yeah.
Seahawks, Cardinals, interesting. You look at the Seahawks loss last week against the Saints without Drew Brees. There were some questionable calls there from Pete Carroll, of course, which some people suggest cost them. But Russell Wilson is playing lights out once again. Arizona, very much a transitional team. So a difficult game to pick in a way, because we still don't really know enough about Kyler Murray yet and the sample size that, that we've seen. We know the offensive line isn't protecting him. Sacked 8 times last week. So the Seahawks will be licking their chops there. Seattle on the road in Arizona. Which way are you going with this?
I think the Seahawks. I think it'll be tight again. I think it'll be entertaining. I just get the feeling that it might become expansive for a while and we get to see some of what we already know Russell Wilson can do, but Murray can definitely do, moving his feet, hopefully.
And Kingsbury as well, right? You know, this guy came into the league, that this tag team of, we're going to see explosive football, and yet to see that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping that they both try and open out. It might be a very, not high scoring game, but certainly a lot of yardage and an open game, and hopefully red zones they can convert, and we might get a classic.
And you're taking the Hawks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, right. I'm with you on that as well. Me too. Browns Ravens, a fascinating game.
Yeah, that's my game for the week.
Is it? Is your game of the week? Well, let's key in on that.
Looking forward to it.
Why is it a game of the week? What are you most looking forward to seeing?
I just think things haven't come together quite in the way that either side would have wanted just yet. I'm so interested to see how Mayfield and Jackson, you know, that's a matchup. I just, The two talents, the two different personalities.
If you going back to your chat at the top, front office, this is Hugh in 15 years and you're running an NFL franchise, you could pick one of those quarterbacks to build your team around. Who would you go with?
I mean, it's for me, it's a difficult one, but I think the arm of Baker Mayfield and the more, listen, you know, it's not a huge guy or anything like that, but the more classic style, rather than the running style. And again, you know, he puffs his chest out a little bit more as well, Baker Mayfield. For me, he's got to rein it in a little bit.
Yes.
He's probably puffed it out a bit too far, ruffled some feathers for a lot of people. But yeah, I think genuinely, if his head switched on, I almost think he should get, you know, look, the line's not protecting him as much.
He's hanging on to the, both these quarterbacks, but, you know, Mayfield in particular hangs on to the ball far too long. Yeah, and he's got that far gunslinger vibe, hasn't he? Where he forces the issue, and that is electric when it pays off, but when it doesn't, you just, you know, when he's throwing it to triple coverage or something, it's tearing your hair out.
I really like Jackson, but I won, you know, if I was saying like who's going to be our next Tom Brady, I wouldn't pick the runner. Do you know what I mean? Because I think he will, you know, eventually he's going to get some big hits and you know,
he's shown more this season, hasn't he?
That he's going to throw it.
Yeah, he has.
But has he shown the accuracy?
I think in the first couple of games, admittedly against weaker defenses, he did. I think, you know, it was difficult last week against the Chiefs, but, you know, he kept them in it.
Do you think he's got the better arm of the two?
No, I don't think necessarily he's got the better arm of the two, but I do think he's got a better arm than a lot of people think he has. I think he's demonstrated that. But, and also I think if you, your point about Mayfield and his moxie and his swagger, like I totally get that. And, yeah, maybe it is over-exaggerated at times off the field, but on the field, players want to play for him, and it's galvanized a really, really jaded Cleveland franchise. But at the same time, I think if you look at how the Ravens got back into that game last week against the Chiefs, I think it's not necessarily, you know, an issue for Jackson either. So it's a really fascinating matchup. One stat I saw that, and props to Tom and our team for wheeling this out. I can't take any credit for it at all. Baker Mayfield against teams with a record of 500 or better, Hugh. What do you think his record is?
He's won every game.
1-6. Lost 6. Yeah. So again, it's a sample size.
Well, I think it's going to be the game of the weekend, but I don't think the Browns, I actually don't really give them any chance of winning. I just think it's going to be a really good game. And just a contest that I'm intrigued to see. But I think the Ravens.
You're taking the Ravens.
Yeah, I think the Ravens will win it.
Is that the Browns season done then? If they lose that, I think it might be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to turn it around.
Statistically, from that point. Yeah. Okay. I'm taking Baker for the win.
Oh, really?
I think they kickstart things.
What? How?
I think they have to. I think it's because they're, you know, I think they're in last chance saloon in that respect, and I think that he's the kind of player that will rise to that. I think Chubb has got a decent chance of getting some ground game going as well against the Ravens. And I think Freddie Kitchens for the long term, I'm not buying him as a head coach, a credible head coach. But I think given all the preseason hype, given all the expectation about the Browns, I think it does come down to they have to win this game. I think they know that if they don't, they're pretty much kaput. So I think that will be enough to to drive him to the win, but it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. I don't feel totally confident with it, but I want to believe they can get it done. What about your New England Patriots against the Buffalo Bills? Is this a game, and it's in Buffalo, statement game for the Bills if they can get, at least even keep it close, right? I think that's what we want to see, keeping it close.
The Patriots, of course, have shown their talents already, and everyone's saying, look, it's their Super Bowl to win. I think eventually a team will show that they will have some, you know, they can't have the perfect, week every single week. And they showed with what they conceded last weekend that teams make mistakes.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You can get after a team. You can get a result. You can get, you know, the extra 7, 10, even 3 points you need. The extra 2 points instead of a 1 point conversion that you need to get past them if you can really keep things tight. The difficulty is it's like surgery at some points. You know, Tom Brady started the season so well. You know, you look at him and you just think he can't be that old. He can't be this old, you know.
Are you frustrated about the fact that, I mean, I know they brought Stidham in towards the tail end against the Jets, but are you frustrated that Brady, you've got to start using him in the same way, you know, cautious or conservatively, in the same way that, you know, Ronaldo at Real Madrid and LeBron, you know, they're pacing their seasons. Mm. The Patriots don't seem to be doing this with Brady. He's playing virtually every snap.
He doesn't get hit too much, and he hasn't, you know, I don't know what the sack number is over at the course of his career, but he can't have been one of the most sacked.
That compared to like Roethlisberger,
he's
taking much less damage.
And I think he's one of those guys who he leads the team in such a way. He also would be, you know, you've seen what's happened to Eli Manning
right.
being taken away. And I know he's lost the starter's job, and Tom Brady's not going to lose the starter's job. But at this early point in the season, if you're using Tom Brady such a small amount, then people go, is this his last year? And I don't think Bill Belichick would let those conversations happen.
I suppose they don't mean that as much as they're winning 30-0, yank him out of the game. You know, I see what you mean,
to protect him in that way. Yeah. He just doesn't strike me as the sort of guy that would be happy and keep his attitude if he gets pulled out of the game. I just don't see him as that sort of guy. I think...
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's an odd character, but we see him amped so often. Yeah, the way he delivers it is sort of corny all the time. But, you know, he does have that quarterback energy, you know, still at his age.
He's got that chip on his shoulder still from not being drafted or being drafted so low. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they need that. He's the leader.
I'm going Pats on the road. Yeah. You have to, right? You have to. Chiefs Lions. This is my game of the weekend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think the Lions are seriously underrated. Now,
I agree with you on that.
You with me on that? Now, a good friend of mine, who's a journalist broadcaster for a rival network, so we'll just call him Sam. Sam will be listening to this, and I actually played football with him last night, and he was berating me for not talking about the Lions enough on the show. And I said, I think we talked about the Lions a fair bit. Apparently not. And he's right. I don't think we have given them enough. Paid them enough lip service, and I think that's remiss because I think they are sneaky good. Mm. I think Matt Patricia is really coming on as a head coach. I think everyone was very quick to write him off. Yeah. He comes from obviously the Belichick stable, and not every Belichick lieutenant has, in fact, many haven't succeeded as a head coach, but I think he was a defensive genius there. And I think he's bringing a lot of that to the Lions. Offensively, Matt Stafford hasn't been sacked in two games. Hasn't been sacked. Stafford's still right up there as a quarterback. I think the Lions are a definite contender for a playoff berth. So this could be maybe tighter than some people are suggesting, I think.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it comes down to how far Pat Mahomes can move the Chiefs down the field. I think if they can restrict him to short passes, and it's an obviously very difficult thing to do with an arm like his. But, you know, they're away from home, right? So
yeah,
I agree with you. I think it could be tight. I just think the start in particular, get it into the Chiefs' heads early on, Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes' head, that you're not going to get any joy trying to stretch it.
Yeah.
So if they can keep the yardage down that they concede, of course, they stay in the obvious. But if they can quickly give the impression to the Chiefs that it's not going to be, let's go, homers down the field, 60, 70 yard throws, that's not going to happen. So those deep defensive backs.
Plan B, yeah.
I mean, they've got a big job on their hands, but they have to start the game extremely well.
I just picked up Matt Patricia, a defensive genius, against Andy Reid. So when he was the Patriots defensive coordinator, played Andy Reid at the Chiefs twice, allowed over 40 points in both of those games. So that slightly concerns me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where I'm going with this. And I do think it's going to be tight. I still think the Chiefs win it, but I still think the Lions make the playoffs. How about that? So I'm taking the Chiefs for the game.
Okay.
But long-term prognosis, Lions in the playoffs.
Do you think it's going to be a tight, high-scoring game or low-scoring?
Well, the Chiefs give up big plays that, yeah. You know, their pass defense isn't the strongest. So I think I can see points on the board. Yeah. Probably won't be a dissimilar game, I think, to the one we saw last week against the Ravens. So around the same kind of level, whatever that was, 60 odd points, was it?
Yeah.
So I think I see points on the board. What about
good.
You?
No, I mean, I just wanted a reason to look forward to it. Okay. If you said it was going to be a low scoring game, I would have disagreed, but
check in with me next week when it was 14-6. And I've got egg on my face. Who are you picking though?
I think the Chiefs.
Go Chiefs.
Yeah. Tight game.
Okay. Panthers, Texans.
Who do I think will win?
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina, it's a difficult stage for them at the moment, isn't it?
But they're believing now with Allen in there. And I was chatting to a Charlotte beat reporter, Panthers beat reporter from the Charlotte Observer, I think it was, on the radio show, Sunday radio show. And he was saying that could be all change for Carolina this summer because Newton, Ron Rivera, their GM as well, could all go.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, if Allen keeps on balling like he did last week, they've got a problem, I think, with when Cam comes back. I mean, if he gets them back into contention, I think that could be a genuine controversy.
If Cam Newton gets the sort of all clear docs, this guy's back to 100% full health and he's got, again, that energy, exuberance that he brings to the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very difficult.
To start him. But let's just say I'm painting an extreme picture, but let's just say he plays lights out 5-6 games and he's balling. I mean, yeah, that's going to be tricky.
I mean, yeah, in sport, if you get your opportunity, you take the chance and you earn it, then, he deserves to stay in. But that means that Cam Newton will definitely be leaving if they don't put him back in.
They will find a suitor for him, I'm sure. Yeah. He will find a suitor. Just one line on the Texans offensive line, which gets a lot of criticism. And like we were saying with Baker Mayfield, at times sacks aren't always on the offensive line. If a quarterback's hanging onto it for too long and Mayfield is there, has an issue there. Deshaun Watson does as well, but it's getting better. So sacked 74 times since 2018. Week one, six sacks. Then it dropped to four, only two last week. So things getting progressively better as far as that's concerned. The Panthers want to bring the pain. I'm picking the Texans for the win here. Home field advantage.
Yeah, I agree. I like Texans.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you like the Texans as well. So we're picking them good because you're in the building. Raiders Colts. So yeah, the Raiders sneaky better than we thought they'd be.
Yeah.
And the Colts, I suppose, similarly, when Luck went out and say goodnight, Andrew Luck, we thought, well, there goes the playoffs, but Jacoby Brissett is stepped up.
Yeah. I think there were two camps over that. There were a lot of people saying, don't underestimate Jacoby Brissett. He can play. He's proven it already.
Ex-patriot, of course.
Yeah, ex-patriot, of course. I think I'm hoping he has a good season. I talk about sort of those coaches earlier on, players, different things that I follow. In sport.
Yeah.
Brissett's one of those players whose story is one that you're like, I want this guy to do well. I want things to work out for him, right?
Definitely.
So, I'm hoping, that the Colts end up having a very good season with him. He keeps the job. They haven't played too badly.
Yeah, right.
The Raiders is an opposition. I saw some positive signs last year. The run, Jacobs, he's been playing well. Waller was fantastic last week. But ultimately, if you're going to throw to him that often, if he's going to be probably your only, solid, consistent person receiving, and then this week he can expect a lot of attention and that might detract from him. So you've got to go, I think, Colts at home.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, keep an eye on him. He's an injury doubt, of course, a big part of that. Tyrell Williams is stepping up for the Raiders, and I might sneakily put him into our fantasy pod. That drops tomorrow, Saturday morning, incidentally, if you want to get involved with a bit of daily fantasy. So I'm both going Colts.
Yeah.
Picking the Colts on that one. Chargers, Dolphins. Do we need to spend much time on this? Melvin Gordon back, of course, for the Chargers. That's the big story talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Holdouts. Gordon is back and could well suit up.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is what I say about players just needing to understand where they are if they're going to hold out. The good thing on Melvin Gordon is that he's understood where he sits now with the holdout, and the full season probably wouldn't have been good for him, and whoever's advising him, look, for me, if I was an agent, I'd always want my player to be out there on the field proving how good they are. And if that's going to help him get his big contract, then so be it. I hope he does.
Yeah.
And I hope he has a good season. You know, I'd rather see it far more from that angle than he sits out the entire season to get that deal.
It's got to hurt though, doesn't it? When he looks at, you know, Zeke getting paid and, you know, in his head, because he's an elite athlete, he thinks I'm at that level or thereabouts. And then the deal isn't forthcoming and he has to come back, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about where you are. You know, if he was that guy at Dallas, then he might have been paid already, but he's not. He's at the Chargers. Yeah. They have a different front office, a different opinion on his talents than he does. And that means he has to wait. But the good thing is he's realized the best way to wait it out is to play.
Yeah. Okay. Both, I'm guessing picking the Dolphins, the Chargers in that one. Danny Dimes, hosting the Redskins. That's a tasty follow-up start for him. Yeah. No Saquon Barkley, of course, for the Giants. So massive loss for them, but
they might rely on Danny Dimes again. You know, it's going to be interesting. Obviously you need a strong run game, I think, but, the pressure that he's had on him may well dissolve after that performance last week. You know, maybe he is a confidence player. So many negative things were said about him at Duke. So many negative things were said about him in the draft when he got picked, when he played preseason, even though he played well in plenty of those games, people were still trying to doubt him. And even though it was one game, you know, I think he can take a lot of confidence.
Big time.
To say, do you know what? Right. I've proved them wrong in one game, but I'm going to make it proving them wrong all season.
Yeah.
And he might go very strong into that game. And I hope he does. Again, I'd love to see him do well just because of the sheer number of detractors, people losing their minds.
Exactly.
About his pick. I'd love it for him to have another week where he performed at a high level.
Yeah, me too. Both picking Giants on that as well.
Yeah.
You can't.
I'm calling a lot of tight games though. I think it could be closer than people think.
Yeah. Okay. We got to rattle through the rest. I'm guessing is going to get the look from Harry. Yeah. I'm getting the look from Harry. Titans, Falcons. Titans disappointing after starting so well.
Yeah. And I had Delaney Walker in my, and it, a good start, but it's just falling apart. So we'll go Falcons.
17 sacks the Titans have allowed. In the first 3 weeks of the season.
I had Marcus Mariota as my second choice QB. I picked Daniel Jones as my final draft in the entire draft. And I genuinely said to my friends, by week 3, he'll be the starter.
Blimey, because I thought he'd take longer.
So Mariota's been dropped.
Yeah, or benched ruthless. I'm not surprised.
And here we are. But I didn't put Daniel Jones in last week. I thought I'll give Marcus one more.
Who's your other quarterback?
You play two
quarterbacks in your
I
fantasy.
Play two quarterbacks. Okay. My number one quarterback's Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
My second quarterback was Mariota.
And he's now you've got Danny Dimes. Nice sneaky pick. Value there. Yeah, I bet. We've picked those. I'm seeing if they're Vikings, Bears, or Cowboys, Saints. We haven't them. That's a hell of a game, even without Drew Brees. Vikings, Bears. I mean, I think a critical game, of course, for the NFC North. Dalvin Cook is playing lights out. Is he an MVP candidate for you? Because obviously the MVP is typically a quarterback. I think AP was the last running back to win it. Is Cook, he's on pace for 2,000 yards.
You picked another player from my fantasy team as well. I'm very satisfied at the moment.
That's a hell of a pick.
I think absolutely he could. I mean, at the moment, he's just, it's not even like he's running through people. He just looks untouchable.
It's video game level.
Yeah, exactly. If he keeps that level up, the team keeps playing well, then everyone should be, you know, it's the proof's in the pudding. Everyone should be open to it, definitely.
And Kirk Cousins and his jingos. Are they going to get the win at Soldier Field?
It's still tight. It's still tight for me. I find Chicago aren't the worst team in the world. I think they haven't got things firing in exactly the way, but I think one of these things, you know, you get a feel for sport working it for so long. These next couple of weeks are when teams that we've written off almost might start ironing out some of the things.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Not least because, and you know, something I want to ask you actually, and I know I'm going to get the look from Harry in a minute, but really interested in your opinion on this as somebody who covers different sports. Preseason in the NFL, when starters hardly see any action, is that a mistake because there's so many players are rusty week one, week two?
I think that's a massive mistake. Because the game is intense, right? The game is intense. You need to be sharp, very sharp. You need to be match ready. A game that's physical and contact, you need to be ready for the bruises. You know, you need to be totally up to scratch.
And practice, of course, in pre-season limits that amount of contact on top of the
games. Exactly. So I think to not give them as many reps. Like, I know people are going to try and protect their quarterbacks. And I think a lot of the first choice quarterbacks are maybe a different level to the second and third choices. And so you really do need to protect them. But other than that, I think players need a little bit more time. You know, even the Aaron Donalds of this world need more time.
Yeah. So. Just to get set. Yeah. I'm going to pick the Vikings on the road here. Yeah. I just think the Bears offense is going to get enough going.
I'll agree.
Okay. Fair play. All right. Cowboys Saints.
The Cowboys.
Me too. Dallas, is the Dallas Rams, is that the NFC Championship game? Do we think there's any other competition at the moment based on what we're doing?
Again, you know, when I say some teams start to figure things out in these next two or three weeks, right? Certain teams might be found out a little bit more as well. And I think Dallas have had that good start. But I don't see them just rolling through. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns here. And I think, you know, if there's any club in any team in the NFL, who the story can become so big so quickly, you know, if they lose a couple of games, it's one of those teams where everything's falling
falling
down.
Falling
exactly. Right. And that will happen to them. I don't think they're going to, you know, win huge numbers of games. They might get 9 or 10, I think. But it's how they deal with those defeats that's going to be the I don't think that defeat will come this week.
Picking Cowboys in New Orleans, me as well. Monday Night Football, Bengals, Steelers. Oh, it's an ugly game.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what will the Steelers do? You know, if they play like they did before, I don't see them do much.
I wonder if they hang on to Mike Tomlin, do you think? I mean, assuming this is going to be a losing season, because they've got such a history of not doing that, of course, they're sticking by their coach and continuity.
It's Big Ben. Losing Big Ben gets him more time, I think.
Yeah.
As most coaches,
point.
You know, you lose your first choice quarterback, you've got a pretty big excuse for not winning a lot of games. Yeah.
They should win their first this season though, I think, on Monday. I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
All right. Good work, man. It was a Danny Dimes level name. There you go.
Hopefully
you'll be back and come and see us soon. But if our listeners want to check you out in the meantime, so you're anchoring Kickoff on TalkSport.
Yeah,
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Exactly. I present Kickoff. It's a lot of live football, English football, let's call it that. Lot of League Cup, lot of Champions League football, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, talking about all the big topics. Sky Sports News as well, of course, here and there. The guy with the big beard, if you don't
recognize
him immediately.
And on Twitter?
At Hugh Wozencroft, H-U-G-H, Woo Zencroft.
There you go. With the phonetics as well. To wrap things up, we'll push that out on social as well to make sure that you can follow Hugh. Good to see you, man. Thanks for dropping by.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Figured it was going to be good. Terrific to catch up with Hugh, and I'm looking forward to seeing him a little bit later on in the season. So you're all set for week 4, gang. Apart from your daily fantasy, which drops tomorrow morning, me and the OG. I'll be with Nikki Bandini on Monday to take stock of it all, make sense of it all. So looking forward to catching up with Nikki. She's making her season debut as well. Debuts all around. They are all the rage. Big shout out to Paddy Power Fantasy, our terrific sponsors this season. Appreciate their support. Get involved. Paddy Power Fantasy, there is a free to enter competition. Top 1500 players win a cash prize. It's £1,000 for first place. Head over to Paddy Power Fantasy. Get involved with that. And of course, our daily fantasy show drops tomorrow to get you set for that. Hopefully we'll try and get you in the cash. Me and the OG back on Monday with Nikki Bandini. We'll see you then. Bye for now.